Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays, doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinking bros. That is Hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. Let me tell you about Moo.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you 20% off your first order over there. Did you know there's an online cannabis store that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's the magic mind gummies for deep work and creativity, the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for the action at every turn, and touch into a full body experience over there. Listen, I love the night-night gummies, as I call them, the sleepy time gummies. I take, right now they're 15 milligrams. I cut it in half, and I take half a night. 15 minutes, dude, you are gone. I've never had anything like it. 15, 20 minutes tops, and I'm out. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, gas stations, whatever. Mood's functional gummies, though, combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Texas Governor Abbott just said it was all right to get these shipped through the mail. He vetoed the bill down here. Thank God. So order from mood.com today. Use that promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off your first order. Everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the promo code Drinking Bros. So head on over to mood.com. Find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros when you check out to save 20% off your first order.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's Upwork.com, Upwork.com.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Life on the front lines requires you to step up your game. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, CardoMax has designed just the right supplements for you and is offering Drinking Bros an exclusive offer. Buy one, get one free on your first order. Go to CardoMax.com and use the promo code DB. That's CardoMax.com, helping you achieve your max.
Oh, shit.
50,000 people. Michael Irvin just showed up.
Wow. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Come on, dude. Come on, dude. Is this how we're starting the show? Is this how we're starting the show?
Yeah.
Look at that, dude.
What's up, bro?
What's up, man? How y'all doing, man?
Good to see you. How are you?
I'm good, man.
Welcome to the Icebreakers Drinking Bros crossover episode. Two legends meeting each other for the first time. Yeah, why not? Why not?
Dancing with the stars.
Dancing with the stars. We did all that stuff together, man.
I watched Chuck get ready like you say, man. We just danced. Calm down.
I don't know.
Calm down.
Just dancing. I get ready to dance.
Right. What the hell are
you doing all this for? What about the dance?
That's what we do. That's what we do. We don't dance.
I just broke it on your show.
No, no, it's perfect timing. Come on in. Come on in, Michael. Yeah. Grab. I tell you what. Grab a drink. Help yourself. We're here. Grab some food. All of it. Help yourself. What are the chances you start a show off like that? That is hilarious.
He looks like he's fucking 25
years old. It's crazy. Michael looks like he's still playing. It's unbelievable. You and Michael are in the same type of shape. Like, what is that?
What do we do? How do we get to that?
How do we get to that?
How do we look like that?
I don't know. You tell me.
It's got to be something else. It's got to be something else.
I mean, push-ups. I mean, he's going right to the nacho bar, so it's not diet.
I mean,
maybe it's nachos.
Maybe it's nachos.
Maybe it's Maybelline. Yeah.
Maybe it's not. We're live from the Canelo Alvarez fight at Dallas Cowboys Stadium, aka Jerry World, right now. We were not prepared to go on this quickly. However, there's been a lot of knockouts early on. And it's early. It's early. Michael, it is early, dude. I was not expecting this. Usually these fights don't go off till like 11 or 12. Here we are. Trying to fill time. They're going to try to fill time. Adam might have to go into the ring.
I have to go on stage and do stand-up. Yeah, you want to come out with me?
Oh, I thought you were going to fight. You're not going
to. I got 2 hours ready to go. I got 2 hours of Canelo material all locked and loaded. Yeah.
I think we need to get Chuck out there with Jake Paul in this ring.
Oh, yeah.
We could.
Is he here?
We could.
He might be.
Tyson Fury is here.
Tyson Fury is here. Yeah. Chuck, you ever fought a Mexican? This Mexican audience travels.
What?
The Mexican audience travels.
So we were.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we were talking earlier about you've been to live Conor McGregor fights.
Well, I think he figured out he was Mexican halfway through his career, but.
23andMe, right?
23andMe, yeah.
Wait, those Conor McGregor fights, how do those.
Like 5,000 to 10,000 people from Ireland show up to every single fight he does. But this. There's like 35,000 Mexican people here right now. And they love, everybody's bonkers. Wearing a Canelo.
Every
stuff.
Time they put Canelo on the screen, it went this is bonkers.
This is one of the coolest fucking events I've been to so far because people are hyped the fuck up for this shit.
70,000 people, no mask.
You don't see people getting super hyped up for boxing matches anymore, but this one, people are tuned up for this.
Yeah. This is it. Some kind of record, right?
Yes.
This is the largest crowd since COVID started last year.
But this is the largest crowd for a boxing match, I think, ever.
And second largest crowd to Cher. Cher actually opened Cowboys. That's not true.
That's true.
Yeah, it is true.
It's true.
It is true. Okay.
Yes, no, and it might be. Look, Springsteen opened up Staples Center when I was, because I was a waiter in a luxury box. The same like as this. That was my first. I'm 33 years old, so I don't know what he's talking about. But that was 97. When I did it, Springsteen opened it up, and it was just like, all right, shit, people were amped and know what's going on. And
wait, raise your hand if you've been to a boxing match before.
Oh, yeah, tons. Yeah,
so this is my first.
Is it really?
Yeah.
No way.
So thank you. This is
that
my...
doesn't surprise me.
You guys are popping...
It's got to be cool.
You guys are popping my boxing cherry.
This is what this is all about. We didn't really care about the show or hanging out with Michael Irvin or anything. It was about getting you some experience.
Dude, this is unbelievable. And also, I will say this, like most sports, once you see it live, there's just a greater appreciation. Like, even just seeing these guys walk out and seeing the and getting to talk to people about it at a level to where it matters, I'm just paying attention to a lot more of, like, the pregame.
Yes. It's interesting to run into people that actually know the sport of boxing.
Yes.
Because I wouldn't have expected that. Because people grow up playing baseball and football and soccer and shit like that.
How many people do you know growing up? Box. I don't know.
I don't know any. No, and Chuck, for you, on a night like tonight, when you're waiting backstage as the main event, like Canelo, what's going through your mind in a moment like this?
You know, for me, for him, or for, are you talking about for me watching?
Yeah.
Well, you know,
no, for you as a fighter.
As you as a fighter,
yeah.
Like what?
The fighter.
Yeah. What were you waiting for?
Well, man, I'm excited, man. I just put in a long camp, and for me, I love my job. I love fighting. So it was the reward for me was that fight. So I'm finally there. I'm just ready to go. I think I was telling you earlier, when I walk out, I take a little time to enjoy the crowd. Like, cause it used to be deafening. I go walk out, it got so loud.
Well, it's still deafening today. So it took us about 45 minutes to get, 300 feet?
Yeah.
Chuck can't go anywhere, but let alone outside especially a stadium at a fighting event. I mean, it was bonkers. You're a beetle out here.
Yeah, you are. This is one of the first times I've been with someone in a group that's a legit A-list person.
Oh, the only time I got stopped,
whoa,
it was...
Whoa
bro. No, you're... Every day you are.
No.
Every day you are.
Well, you go back to the...
Funny story. I was staying at the... staying at the Standard in Hollywood.
Yeah.
The manager comes up to me and goes, hey, man, you know... Man, you're really popular. All my staff wants pictures with you.
Yeah.
I really thought you were a B-list celebrity. I went,
but I think you're B-plus right now.
Yeah.
I said, what?
Thank you. Also, fuck you.
That kind of a sideways compliment. The manager of the hotel.
Oh my God.
I'm like,
so nervous.
Thanks.
What?
Yeah. Can I get more soap or am I not allowed? Like,
the egg rolls free now?
Am I not that high? Yeah. But even in the box, people are screaming up at you to take photos of you in your own box, and they're not even in the
picture. Not even with you. They just want a headshot.
So the other part of that is this little group of what I'm told are gypsy children that surround the Dallas area. And I'm not kidding. There's different segments. So there's what appear to be 14 to 16-year-olds.
Yep.
Then there's like what appear to be 8 to 10-year-olds.
Yeah.
They're all dressed the same suits, but a regular shirt, no collared shirt, suit, T-shirt, chain, freckle faces,
cowboy
ginger
hat.
Hair,
yes.
Cowboy hats. What the fuck is happening here? What is this?
I hadn't heard of it, but
because they're all sitting in seats that cost about $2,000.
A lot of money. So I ran into some on the way in, and they were freaking out. They were like, accepted. And I was like, accepted on Netflix. And I was like, yes, but your children in suits. What are you doing here?
They're 12 years old. They shouldn't be watching that movie.
At all. But I can't figure out where they came from or why they're here. But there's a
But they're not with, like, there's no adult supervision.
They don't have parents.
Yes.
I think it's one of those things, too, where...
Is it the Newsies?
Yes, those are the Newsies. We should say this, too. Chuck is, because it's an easier said than done thing to be so generous and accommodating. Oh, yeah. This guy stops for every fucking person that stops. We have to pull him away. And the only time I got stopped was somebody be like, Adam. I go, yeah. They go, get the fuck out of the way, Chuck. But yeah, man, you're so great to all your fans. And it's like, I mean, is there, in an event like this, is it, when do you have to find that balance of like, oh, man, now I need to go inside and maybe shut it down?
You know, look, man, I love my fans. I got paid a lot of money to do what I love for a living.
Yeah.
And I still get paid a lot to do things because of my fans.
Yeah.
They're also respectful.
They're good people, too.
Yeah, nobody was like bombarding you or grabbing you.
They're respectful. They're great. I try to do the most I can. I mean, at an event like this, you got to expect it. It's a fight. They're fight fans.
You do. You got it. It's all for the fans, man. You got to do it for the fans, you know? It's like there's not a picture. There's not one time Chuck doesn't not take a picture. And, like, that's what I really...
Quick selfie there.
That's what I really dig about him. He's like always open and event. No, but
you're
dude.
Open. You're too open.
Yeah, man.
I saw you got swarmed last night by 300 people, no lie. And it was one of those things where.
So we were walking from Lonesome Dove in Austin over to Vulcan for the comedy show. And like 45-year-old homeless dudes are walking up asking for a picture.
Yeah.
Like, what are you using for the picture, bro? Like, you're homeless.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, can we get a picture, Chuck? And like the dude's clearly homeless.
You're like, that's a shoe, man. He's like, you're just jealous. What are you, an Android bitch? Like,
where are you hanging that picture? Where is that picture going for you? But for real, you can't go fucking anywhere anymore, dude. Jesus Christ.
All right, hey, the pluses outnumber the minuses for me,
yeah.
So I don't mind. And
your fans are super cool and respectful, too. Yes. Like, ours are the same. We've had, I don't know how many hundreds of live Drinking Bros events we've had, and it's a bunch of alpha people, military people, right? We've never had a single, not one fight
not
ever.
A single incident.
Once.
Everybody's super respectful, yeah. And it's great. And
so you can't really complain about it.
And I don't understand a lot. Like, some people come up to me and tell me how I helped them get through this or get through that. And yeah. I really meant something to them. And I don't really understand how I did it, but I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
And it feels good to have someone tell you, hey, man, you helped me, you'll get through this or get through that. Right? And lately I'm getting a lot of guys go, hey, man, some of my best memories with my pops was watching fights.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's a thing for sports, for real. Like, I've heard that a lot.
Some people said that tonight to you, and it was just like, hey, it was my dad introduced me to UFC because of you.
And that's a big deal for you because your grandfather raised you, basically. And he taught you all this bullshit, how to be a man and all that stuff.
100%.
So that's got to resonate for you, right?
Yeah, same thing. For me, I always said that was my one regret. He didn't get to see me be champ.
Yeah. For you personally, your fiance is here. She's a diehard Cowboys fan.
Diehard Cowboys fan. She's holding it together, not bombarding. She's sitting next to Michael Irvin eating nachos. This is definitely a NyQuil dream come to life.
This is our first time in the stadium. We are in the end zone.
Diehard Cowboys fan, right?
Diehard Cowboys fan, right there.
She's keeping it cool.
Trying to keep it cool. But Michael Irving's in the building. Yeah. Like, it's got to be wild for you to be like, hey.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is...
But do you hate him as a Seahawks fan?
No, dude. This is... look, when you're a sports fan...
Do you transcend?
Oh, yeah, dude.
If you're that great, you transcend.
Well, let me say this, dude. There are teams... I think especially when I was a kid, it's like that's when the America's team, Cowboys team, was truly America's team. And my Seahawks were dog shit then. So when you're a home team is bad, you still root and support them, but you latch on... to the team because you want to feel that winning feeling.
So what about fucking,
and that was them.
What about Paul O'Neill then? Mariano Rivera.
Paul O'Neill?
Yeah.
Oh, that guy. If I saw him, I'd spit in his salad. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because the Mariners were good back then.
What's that?
The Mariners were good, and the Yankees fucking knocked them out.
Also, the Yankees are different, man. Again, like the Cowboys. Like also too the swagger. And Chuck, you can attest to this, man, because you are the epitome of that. Like adding the swagger and the likability to your sport, like Michael did and still does, adds a lot. So as a fan, and especially a kid, when you're watching, you're like, oh man, like seeing a guy that not only is having fun playing, and you go, man, he'd probably be cool to have nachos with, you know, which I did fantasize about, and now it's coming to fruition, you know?
That's why I love Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a dick. He's just really enjoying what's going on, man. It's good. It's fun to watch. Yeah. You want to watch people having fun.
And it's fun for the game. It's fun for the game.
How tough is it when, like you just said, like you get hyped up allowing the crowd to, like, contribute to the enthusiasm, but, like, you know, is there
a still say focus.
Yeah, like, how do you balance the focus and fun?
Look, honestly, as soon as the cage closes, I walk in, I'm focused. None of that matters anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very, very, I'm a calculated fighter.
Yeah.
What were you thinking about? So you're walking up. You get to the cage, you're getting checked out by the fucking ref on the sideline, right? You're hearing all the shit going on, but then what happens when you step? Do you like, is it turning the hat backwards and fucking over the top? What is it? Like, what goes through your head?
Okay, here we go. I got your game plan. I always have kind of almost like a football where you have 10 plays they run it to see how defense works. I kind of, that's where I start. I come out.
So you scripted coming out. Like, I'm going to throw a couple.
I had somebody, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try this. I'm going to see how he reacts to this guy. Because I saw it on film.
Right.
I saw him do how he reacts. I'm going to see if he's still reacting that way.
So you're
to
trying
me.
To make sure he didn't switch it up.
He hadn't switched it up or hadn't changed. Because if he did, it's going to work. Right? I mean there's a number of fights where we added something, took something in and put it in for that fight. Just for that fight. Like this backward uppercut or certain thing that we were using in camp. We saw in film and it worked, and I ended up winning the fight because of it.
Oh, wow. Well, it's funny you say that, because that Masvidal thing, when he kneed Ben Askren in the head, seemed like a spur of the moment thing, but it turned out after the fact we saw 6 weeks of him training that exact play, right? Like, he knew if Askren charged in on him, I'm doing that, right?
Exactly.
So he trained on that for fucking like almost 2 months.
Yeah,
right. Before.
Is it the same way for boxing? Let me ask you that. Does Canelo come out with a game plan immediately? It was like, all right, great. I'm going to do this for the first 2 or 3 rounds, or is it way different than
there's
MMA?
There's so much more volume of punches.
I'm not sure guys are different. Guys, different fighters fight different ways, but I'm sure he's got a game plan. They've looked at it. They know how he plans on it.
Canelo definitely has a game plan.
Well, let's ask him. I got his Facebook page. Let me just shoot him a message real quick. See what he says. He'll
hit him up on Twitter.
He'll get back. He's chilling.
He's a very
smart. What are they doing right now,
dude? He's a very smart fighter. He's relaxing.
Relaxing, yeah.
Relaxing, yeah.
Look, all your work's done. You're back there. You're warming up. I mean, and some guys got a little bit of nervous, but they're not just like that excited nervousness.
Is it like pacing because you want to stay warm, or can you sit for an extended period of time?
Relax, yeah. Right? I mean, everyone does it different. I warm up a little bit, I can move around. I want to go out with a little bit of a sweat. I want to do enough, but I do.
But
what
it
I
depends
feel like
on the guy, right? Like, there's some relief pitchers in baseball. Instead of throwing the 22 normally they say 22 to 25 pitches to warm up. Some guys will throw 5, they're like, I'm good.
Oh, wow.
That's just how it's.
Want to save it, yeah.
It's kind of like your circadian rhythm. So you need to sleep a certain amount of hours of a certain amount of day to be the most efficient. Everybody's different like that. And I was wondering if it translated into combat sports like that.
Oh, yeah, but it has for to, sure. Right? Like for me, like I get up the morning when I wake up, I don't get up till late because I'm fighting late, but I get up and I run. I get up and do a little, maybe 10 minutes, just real short, just so I don't want the first time I warmed up. I've been training for the last 10, 12 weeks when I got up and then at night, you know, at least those 2 times a day. So I don't want to get into the, okay, now the one day I'm going to fight, now I'm going to change everything.
Yeah. But it's about figuring out where you operate the best, right?
It is. And what are you doing on a night like tonight where there were so many quick knockouts that your schedule's moved up faster than it normally is?
Well, like, if you're the title fight, though, you're going to go on at the right time.
There's a ballpark time they put you on. And, you know, they give you warning. Hey, man, get ready. You'll get... And actually, my trainer would wait to even tape my hands till we got pretty close.
Till game time?
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he'd tape it. He'd take it.
How long does that whole process take?
It just depends on the guy.
20 like 15 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
So you can wait pretty deep.
Yeah, you wait. And then you start moving around with them. So.
Do we think they're paying attention to any of the online hype building up to the fight? Like, I know it was different when you were fighting. There wasn't as much, but... But are they online? Are they reading anything? Are they on?
LeBron says he goes into playoff mode and turns off his social media or whatever the fuck. No, he doesn't.
You think they all read it? You think these guys are paying attention to what's
going on? It depends. I used to get on there. We didn't really have it when I was fighting.
Yeah.
At the end, I'll get on there. But even though any social media for me, if I'm on there commenting on anyone, I'm just fucking with you.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Hey, look, if I don't know you, you don't know me. I give a fuck what you think. So you can say anything you want. You know, you can say anything you want. If I respond at all, it's just to be funny. And then I let my fans rip people apart.
They do.
They do a hell of a lot better job than I do.
Oh, that's amazing.
They're
like,
a lot funnier than me.
Dude, you should give me your login one night. Let me have a couple of tequilas and just fucking go to town.
It's a Chuck Liddell takeover by Adam.
Why not?
Get a Chuck Beef going
on Twitter, yeah. And then he starts going after Jake Paul, Logan Paul, every single person.
Yeah.
And he says, hey, I will fuck you up at your brother's house. And then that joke fits for both of them.
Yeah.
So you're good to go on that.
It's like both Pauls out.
That's 2-for-1 right now.
Yeah. Because hey, when we walked in, there was a lot of people asking, would you do it in Cowboy Stadium? Would you fight Jake in Cowboy Stadium? Dead serious.
We were taking pictures over there. Somebody was like, we're chucking a box. I'm like, when Jake Paul accepts a fight.
Yeah,
that's when he's gonna box.
Yeah.
It's gonna happen, right? I mean, I just feel like we're leading.
That's what I feel like.
I mean,
but what you're talking about?
That's the sim world.
Yes,
we're in the sim world.
Yes.
If you're a guy like Michael Jordan that gets motivated by external bullshit, if Michael Jordan was playing today, he would probably be reading every post and he'd be like, fuck that guy. I'm scoring 40 tonight. Fuck that motherfucker, right?
And he would take on some guy who's like a Jake Paul just to beat him? Just because he's talking shit, just to shut him up?
Yes.
Wow.
But some people don't, like Chuck doesn't give a shit. That wouldn't work for him. Like, he doesn't care, right? He just wants to fucking mash somebody the fuck up. Which is what I would rather see.
And the crazy part about it is in the background, we're about two fights away from the actual main event. We're still talking about Jake Paul because this fight was so boring. Like, for real. It was so boring.
Well, look, I mean, a lot of these boxing cards, it's like you look at that, minus 800, minus 400, minus 1,000. What was that one? Minus 3,000? That's 30-1.
Yeah.
50-1.
I've never seen consistently wide odds on a full card before like I have here. Everything was, the first fight was minus 5,000. And even Canelo for it's unifying three title belts. It's still, I think the lowest it went was minus 630 or something.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking crazy.
I mean, I ended up betting on the rounds. So I took Canelo in 7 and 8. You watch me do it. MyBookie.com, promo code DRINGERBROS doubles that deposit up to $1,000. I put 500 on the 8th, 500 on the 7th for Canelo. That was the best option I had.
I put 100 on 11 and 12.
11 and 12.
That's where Canelo's been finishing his fights lately.
Are we talking predictions at all or
yes,
no?
Yes, the over-under's 10.5. Yes, yes, we are. So I've got the under. That was the best value pick, and I've got knockout in round 7 or 8. We'll start with Chuck. Chuck, who do you got?
You don't think it's going 12?
No.
I think it's going 4.
I told my guys, pick 5, 6, or 7 for knockout. And it's an under two. I mean, you got to do a prop bet to make it fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not much for betting when it's minus 800 or whatever it is. But down to minus 650.
You got to add some investment.
5, 6, 7 are the most likely knockout rounds. 11 and 12 are the likely TKO rounds where the other guy is tired. Saunders is tired. And he's just not defending himself. So those are the best values. 5, 6, 7, and 11, 12 are the best values. We're going to bet now. We still got time.
Are there prop bets for, like, what song they'll walk out to? Or is that already predetermined and announced?
Oh, the song.
They're going to be like, hey, Canelo's coming out to Chumbawamba's Tough Dumping. Like 20-1.
By the way,
on
your guys' show this week, Anderson Silva announced he's going to walk out to DMX for his next fight, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty dope.
So with him fighting again, do you agree with that? Should Anderson Silva keep fighting?
As long as I've always been one of those guys. If you want to fight, fight. Look, man. If you want to fight, fight.
Yeah.
He wants to go try boxing. It's fine.
He was so great before the injury. I hate to see it because I don't want to see anything bad to happen to him. Yes. I don't want to see that. You're a football fan. You know it. Like, it happens all the time in football as well.
Yeah, dude. I mean, like, but then you get those, like, magical moments like Favre. Everybody thought Favre should stop. And then
everybody
it's like
thought Tom Brady was going to fail in Tampa Bay.
That's an even better example, man. So I don't know. I feel like if they, like Chuck said, man, if they got the will and they're locked and loaded like he was, I mean, even talking to him, he had to cut the interview short because he had to go train or we were just boring as fuck. But either way, you know, like he...
it's because you kept saying Boris Griffin.
Yeah, I kept saying, yeah. Well, I stand by that. I still think it's Boris. I think the world is wrong.
We should.
I think Forrest is a liar, and your name is Boris.
He's a secret Russian spy. Everybody knows it.
Yeah.
He's a great dude in real life. When we've done multiple shows with him. I kept asking him over and over at one show. I go, remember that night when you lost and you cried? You cried. You broke down and you cried over and over again. I said it 4 or 5 times. So finally, towards the end of the show, he goes, hey, motherfucker, you're going to keep asking about me crying in the ring? And I go, Forrest, I wasn't the one who cried, so, like, I don't know, because I've never been there.
He's really such a funny dude.
He's the nicest dude.
That's awesome.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
He is so good.
So he'd love to know that I make this
up. Yeah, we'll get you guys. Oh, yeah. We got to get you guys over to the Performance Institute.
I want to go in there and check it out.
And Forrest runs all the new fighters that come through. He's kind of like the operations manager for the PI in Vegas. So they have multiple gyms. They have a PhD doctor on staff. They have like a hyperbaric chamber with a bunch of cardio equipment. All kind, like a nutritionist, all kinds of shit for the fighters. So anybody that's on the active roster can come through and use that anytime they want.
So by the way, I didn't know this. Canelo is one of eight brothers, and they were all professional fighters. Did you know that? Apparently one of his brothers, how he got into it, was a pro boxer. They all box on some pro level, and he started when he was 13, and by 15 was 44-2. Thank you, Wikipedia.
Yeah.
So that begs the question, obviously, like, what age do you think you need to start to become this great?
Not that young.
No, not that young. But I mean, in Mexico, you do start that young. So, like, you know, some of those guys, like
boxing, baseball, and soccer down there. Man.
Julio Cesar, yeah. I mean, he had, what, 70 fights before as an amateur and then became pro and then fought another 90 times.
Well, it's a different world. My trainer had, he had 200 amateur fights before he fought. Before he
200
fought
fights?
Amateur fights.
Before he was
pro, he fought 20. He had 20 pro boxing matches. He had,
wow.
He had, like, almost 40 pro kickboxing matches. But he had a lot of fights.
They're showing shots of them on the screen now. They're booing him.
Saunders getting his inside of his palm massage. And they're booing a palm massage.
You can tell you're in Texas right now.
Like, leave his thumbs alone. He's a pussy. I mean, that is, that's aggression on another level where.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we are in Canelo world right now.
Seriously, man. We've been to two McGregor fights, two big McGregor fights. And it's a big crowd of Irish people making a lot of noise. Nothing even close to this.
This is all Mexican right now.
I've never seen anything like this.
Joel, can you get a shot of that? I mean, we've got, it looks like 80,000 people out there. Get a shot of the crowd real quick.
This stadium holds about 100,000. So
yeah.
There's 65,000 people here today.
I mean, it's amazing.
What does it mean? They say Canelo is a body puncher, like formidable body puncher. What is that?
Can we show him a body puncher?
Yeah, you want to? Yeah. Hey, email me. Chuck, email me, dude. Yeah. Or one shot to the gut. I'll take it. Fuck. Are we filming?
No,
don't do it. Don't do it.
Adam, if you get punched.
He got so excited.
If you get punched in the jaw and it whips your head around, destabilizes your brain, you get knocked unconscious, right? Your brain's protecting your body.
Yes.
You get knocked unconscious. You get hit in the liver. There's like a half second pause.
You'll take a deep
breath.
Then
the pain overwhelms you. You make a guttural noise, like no matter how tough you are, and you fall to the ground.
When guys get dropped with that, it's got to be the worst feeling in the world because your brain's telling you, get up. And your body's going, fuck you.
Wait, so he is just what? Known for being fast hands?
And beating on the body and digging to the body. And it takes a lot of energy out of you. It takes a lot of stamina. It takes away your stamina if you start landing.
Getting hit here.
Body shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's known for throwing a high left hook and then coming back with a body left to the fucking kidney right there or the liver right there and knocking people out. Like, seriously, you got to see it. You got to see it in person. I hope it happens tonight. Because it's, you hear a hum, and then the guy, against his will, goes to the ground.
I have one loss in my amateur career in eighth grade.
No.
One loss.
You're kid, 45.
Oh, kid boy. Me, still talking about it.
Kid kicked me. No. Kicked me in the stomach. I went down, same thing. Gone. And nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do about it.
What was the kid's name?
I've never lost a fight. I told him to get off at my bus stop. And he goes, fuck you, I'll get on my bus stop. He was about this big. I was about this big. Karate, all that other shit. I didn't know. And I got my fucking world rocked.
Oh, rocks.
I
man.
Mean, just absolutely embarrassed.
What was his name?
Girls,
can we say his name?
Else. I don't remember his name. I remember. But I know he was
about
half
my
size.
You should hire a private investigator to find out his name and give this man the credit he fucking deserves.
I would love it. Now, my bouncing career, I was undefeated. The only one I walked away from was Kevin Randleman.
Well, kids, we got some sponsors who put this shit wagon on the air. First and foremost is ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. The Matrix is on its way, Dan. The 3D Matrix is on its way to my house I can confirm it. I got to know the hype. I got to know the hype. I just ordered it. It is the cooling mattress, and I'm assuming it's going to match those cooling pillows, Dan.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there's a isn't there a Matrix pillow as well?
I'm not sure. They're always adding new things on the website. If there is,
if not, then I might have leaked that it's in development.
Whoopsies! Now, oh well.
But yeah, it's. I mean, the Matrix is, I would say, probably twice as good as the Lux from what I'm hearing from people that have already purchased it in comfort and in cooling, and it's like $250 more. So good luck. Good luck buying anything else. Everybody's gonna. Now I feel like I'm a fucking loser because I don't own one.
Got to get on that train. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. 30% off everything in the entire store. If you buy a mattress, you will get 2 free pillows, the cooling ones that I was talking about, and they're amazing. As soon as you open the box, you will literally feel how cool they are, temperature-wise, by the way. Also, right now, they got that 36-month pay-as-you-go program, no interest there, so you can couple all of these deals together and walk out of there with a new mattress set for, like, you know, $35. Mm-hmm. It's the best. Treat yourself like a king or queen or a single, whatever you want to do bed-wise. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today and get on dem deals. Next up, we got a new one, D'Anthony. This is headspace.com/drinkingbros. This one's super fascinating. I mean, you've probably tried meditation before at home, and it probably didn't work. I'm one of those guys. Or maybe you felt like you were doing it wrong. If mental health is part of your self-care plan this year, you owe it to yourself to try Headspace. If people keep trying to tell you to do meditation, you're like, when would I have time? You can now just pop on this app. I mean, it's pretty easy, right, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, there have been other versions of it in the past, but this one I really like. It's, there's been good research over the last 10 or 12 years on mindfulness and the psychological and physiological benefits from doing that. So whether it's prayer or meditation or whatever the fuck it is, it doesn't really matter. All those things seem to do something specific about clearing out your head, and also with helping to generate more serotonin in your gut, which is where serotonin comes from, which also is what will help you out with gut health, which has physiological effects. Helps you with falling asleep. Well, I know a lot of us have problems with that. On an upcoming episode, we talk to an agent about some of this stuff and about how, you know, people need to tune out from things sometimes. Just like fascial tissue, when you work out, has to have time to repair. Your brain needs time to repair itself and your neural channels. Every time you make a new memory or learn a new thing or have new stress or whatever, it deepens the neural channel. And that is, a form of trauma to your body, just like working out is, and it needs time to recover. This stuff helps you recover from that.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, even if you're overwhelmed, they've got like 3-minute SOS meditations for you. If you need help falling asleep, Headspace has some wind down sessions that's their members swear by. And parents, Headspace even got some morning meditations if you want to do those with your kids.
Yeah.
You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/drinkingbros. For one free month trial. That's headspace.com/drinkingbros for a free 1 month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. Head to headspace.com/drinkingbros today. Free month. See how you like it. Last but not least, Dan, obviously we're talking about it in this episode. mybookie.com/drinkingbros. We all bet on this fight.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I can't believe I picked the round.
Yeah.
Can't believe I picked the round. A lot of people hit me up afterwards. Were like, hey, dude, this was amazing. How do I go there? Look, if you're there and you're already a member, use the promo code DB10, and they'll just give you an extra $10 to bet on something. I'm looking for the next big event. For me, I'm going to go hard on that Mayweather fight, Logan Paul.
I think... I'm looking forward to seeing what the prop bets are. Same. On that, because not just about the rounds and stuff like that, but people forget Mayweather's never been knocked down in his career. This is now he's about to fight a guy that's got about 6 inches and 50 pounds on him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's the best defensive boxer of all time, so I don't expect too much from Paul. But, maybe Mayweather's a very – for seeming to be a bumbling dum-dum, he is a very smart promoter.
Yes.
Allowing himself to take a glancing shot from Paul, it seems like something that he might be considering just to make it more exciting.
And it might be – hey, that might be a prop bet.
Yeah, because to be honest, I thought the McGregor fight was pretty boring.
Yeah.
Frankly, I don't think this one will be. I think he knows better. I think Mayweather wants to do this and probably one more and make probably 100 to 150 mil each on that.
I agree.
And cruise off into the sunset. This is going to be really interesting. So we've also got Chandler coming up this weekend fighting for the belt.
Yep.
Giorgio's buddy. There's a lot of shit coming up to bet on. And we can talk more about the Kentucky Derby later.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But in the meantime, go to mybookie.com/drinkingbros today. They will match your deposit up to $1,000. So if you deposit $1,000, congratulations, you're going to wake up with $2,000. Now, if you're an existing member, all you have to do is go in and type in the promo code DB10, and they're going to give you an extra $10 to bet with on any of the upcoming games. NBA playoffs are right around the corner, and there's some cool fights coming up. Like Dan was talking about, that Chandler fight is coming up. Chuck Liddell will be there, Giorgio will be there, Fake Dan will be there, and they will give you all their picks on Drinking Bros Sports, our sports channel. Subscribe to that, both on the podcast RSS feed on Apple and Spotify, and please leave a 5-star rating and a review. They'll give their picks, and then you'll probably get to see them in real life down in Houston, and all of their bets on mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your deposits all the way to $1,000. mybookie.com/drinkingbros.
So Kevin Randleman came into a bar one night, kicked the shit out of 8 people. I was telling you that story, and grabbed a man by his fat so hard that like the guy had bruising for weeks and weeks and weeks. And my manager walks up to me and she goes, "You've got to stop this." And I go, "Motherfucker, that's Kevin Randleman. Nobody's stopping this." So we all just watched like spectators in the bar that night. At Ohio State, yeah.
And he rejoiced.
He just beat Gracie. Yeah,
head back.
He just beat Gracie. And it was like, dude, no. Because you fought Randleman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a good dude. I like Randleman. I tell you what, so I knocked Randleman out in the minute 18. Right after the fight, they did a negotiation with Pride for me to go over and fight Guy Metzger in Pride. So I go over and fight Guy Metzger. Good fight, knocked him out, knocked him dead. And me and Randleman are getting the same bus back to the airport the next day. And he's like, "Man, you know what, Chuck? I was really bummed you knocked me out. I thought I really stuck, but man, you're pretty good."
By the way, I love that. Really bummed you just knocked me out in front of a...
Is he from Ohio?
Pretty damn good.
Yeah, with Ohio State. Yeah, I hope so.
That's
I'm pretty good.
Midwestern attitude.
Yeah, he wrestled at Ohio State, yeah. So like, he was a legend like, there.
Hey, all right, you got me.
But the weird thing was we used to, you know, meet up at bars to watch him, and back then he was fighting Hoist Gracie, who was wearing a gi. He was wearing a karate gi in the ring, so... We didn't really understand what was going on. Randleman beat him, and then it moved into your era where it was like, all right, huge guys knocking each other out, and it wasn't so much rolling around on the floor in karate gis anymore. It was a different sport. Yeah,
Randleman was tough, man. He's a good guy. I liked him, but him and like the Coleman just never evolved. I remember I was in Pride. I was out of Pride watching the fights, and Randleman and Coleman were in the warm-up room the night before the fight. And one was fighting Fedor, and the other one was fighting Krokop. And they both come to me and, "Hey, man, how do you think we should fight these guys?" I'm like, "You don't have a game plan yet?"
Yeah, man. A little late. Yeah, what time is it?
Tomorrow. So Randleman, like, I'm like, okay, all the way in, all the way out. Just don't stand out there and let him kick you. Whatever you do out there. He won the fight. He knocked him out.
Yeah.
But then Coleman asked me, how do you stop a heel hook? I'm like, okay, put me in a pier heel hook. He looked at me like I just asked him to do, like, differential equations.
He had no idea. I know how long have you been in this sport?
What the
you don't
fuck?
Know how to do a heel hook?
Lazy.
Like, they were still stuck in that, I'm going to prove that wrestling is the best thing ever.
Oh, my God.
You know what I saw this morning on ESPN? They replayed that fight between Hendo and fucking DC. That was a good fucking fight. Man, DC used to be cut as shit. Not anymore. Right? Is he going to fight Jake Paul? Do you think he can take that fight? So Jake challenged him to a boxing match. DC said, I'll do MMA. And Jake said, I'm not going to do that. I don't do that. So what's going to happen there? Anything?
I don't know. I haven't talked to him. Didn't he try to get him to fight fight somebody else? He wanted to fight.
I don't know. They're looking at a bunch of people.
They're looking at a bunch of people right now. By the way, this guy is no Michael Buffer. Is this what we're down to on the zone?
He's doing a pretty good Michael Buffer impression.
Well, it's
he's got a little bit of the commentary.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen!
Like a 40-inch long dreadlock.
Yeah, he looks like he should be selling weed in Venice Boulevard.
Yeah, I hope he is.
Wait, now, I didn't know that Saunders was a Brit.
Yeah, yeah.
Are there many fighters from the pond, or is
Lennox Lewis is one of the best heavyweight champions.
Lennox Lewis, Anthony Joshua.
But I'm saying, like, can Joshua, we count on the hands?
We get about four. Yeah, about four,
yeah,
for
but
sure.
You're talking about bartenders.
A bartender.
For sure. We can count about four from England. You're good.
People only remember the champions, though, right? Like, Lennox Lewis is champion.
Of course.
Six years.
Yeah. He put England on the map, yeah?
Yeah. Like, Lennox Lewis retired because there was nobody left to fight.
Yeah.
Like, no one thought they could beat him.
Because you need one, right?
Is that a serious question?
What? No. Dude, I'm just joking. Dude, half the things that come out of my... Dude, I know more about fighting than you do, Chuck. So anyway, guys. No, I mean, I just feel like you have to have one guy from a place to be great for the next generation to look up to, right?
Like the Philippines has Pacquiao.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, for sure. Like, everybody wants to be him. Every Mexican fighter wants to be Canelo.
Yes.
Sure. And now here's where we're at, by the way. His promo is a form of Bitcoin.
Damn, is he 32-0?
Yes. But, wow. No, he's 32-8. But here's the thing. They're promoting coins that don't exist now. And this is where we are as a society. I mean, that's your big sponsor. 100timescoin.io.
Yeah, he put all of his money into that. And he's going to wait for it to spike tonight and then sell his shares in the morning.
Dude, I mean, Bitcoin fucking... Are you a Bitcoin guy? Do you have any...
Yeah, do your reps tell you to put in anything in crypto?
What's that?
Cryptocurrency?
Yeah, I have some. Not much.
Yeah.
A little bit. I don't know a lot about it. My buddy's been educating me a little bit, so I'm trying to figure that out.
You got
to
get into Dogecoin because fucking Elon's on
satellite tonight.
Is crypto the same as NFT?
I'm going to stab you so hard.
Because somebody told me you can sell a fart as an NFT.
That's correct.
That's all I needed to go, bye-bye. Bye-bye. I'm out. I don't know what that means, but I don't want to be selling farts. Or maybe I do. Maybe I'm missing out.
You should, yeah.
Mike!
But like right now, the crowd's going bug fuck. I'm looking at this guy's sponsors. One of them is Jersey Mike's.
Love Jersey Mike's.
So do I, but... Is that where we're at in boxing? Like, it's kind of crazy to me.
I mean, the amount of sponsors you probably got, you know, approached with, right? Crazy?
Yeah. It was good back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had.
Were you pretty selective, or was it just like many money talks?
I had to like whatever.
Yeah, of course,
but
right?
Yeah, but I'm not too hard.
Yeah.
Are you a Jersey Mike's guy?
But I'm fine with Jersey Mike's.
Great answer, by the way. I'm fine with it. Yeah.
I love Jersey Mike's.
Hey, I got 30 grand one time to put a guy's girlfriend's name on my shorts.
No way. Who would you still remember her name?
Marley Powers. My buddy thought it was a power. It was like a power company or something.
That's amazing, dude.
This guy's going. Hey, how much to put a name on your
so easy?
No way.
30 grand. It's like, oh okay. My god.
Did you ever meet her?
I was. Shit, I should have asked for more.
Yeah, of course.
Did you ever meet her?
Yeah.
What now?
Now this leads to
like my brain would be like, somebody's like, all right, Chuck. Chuck, $100,000 to, at the end of the fight, look in the camera, lick your lips, and say, like, the guy's name. Like, is there a, there's got to be a price tag at some point where you're just like, I mean, like, I, you know, this is... I guess the name on the shorts is good enough.
A girl Mike, come in? Put her name on your shirt.
You want to join us?
Come
Mike?
On in.
Yeah, let me join y'all. Here
come right on in. Dan, where? Grab the lob from Dan. You did. You got it. Oh, you're in. You're in. Michael Irvin is here. Cheers. What are you drinking there, Michael?
This is right there, right there. Bam.
There it is. Cheers.
That's my boy.
Cheers.
That's a 100-year-old bottle right there. That's Louis. That's that good stuff right there.
Oh, is that Louis Trey?
That's that good stuff. Oh, somebody about to get knocked up right now.
I know.
That's that good stuff right there, man. Listen.
God bless you, dude.
Cheers. Cheers.
Guys, Mike.
I like
great,
that, man.
Chuck, love, baby. Chuck. Yeah, dude.
I like how I'm the piece of shit. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It's time to pour a glass.
New York Times best-selling author. No big deal. Last book was number one in the world, but it's fine. No, it's fine. No.
He could have walked over here with two glasses. He has two hands. He could have walked over here with two glasses. He has two hands. Don't you let him sell you.
Oh,
that.
Don't you jeez, kiss me like
you know
that.
What I'm
you son of a bitch. You son of a bitch.
No. Don't
man,
try.
Yeah, dude. Cheers. Gentlemen,
he
fight night.
Give you a kiss in the ear.
Fight night. Fight night.
Mike, I gotta know, does it get old coming in here?
No, it never gets old coming in here. Every time I come in here, you know what I think about? Look at this mother brother I built and didn't get the chance to play in.
I know.
They built this off my Super Bowl. This thing, oh my God, but it might be best. Because I would have gotten caught a couple of times running down the field. Like, damn, that dude's sweet. I've been looking at me. I promise that's one thing I think about. There's no way I wouldn't have been looking at that scoreboard.
Distracting, right?
Watch. I would have definitely looked at it.
Do you think the guys do that now? It's distracting.
But it's incredible now because football has moved so much. Like the stadium, all my stadiums are gone. I guess that says I'm old. You know what I mean? But the stadiums like we played in, high schools have them now. This is like a city. Now these stadiums are almost like cities that everybody has. They're incredible now. It's incredible.
When you walk in, you're retired on the 50-yard line. Michael Irvin, your name is up there on the 50-yard line here.
Yes.
In the Ring of Honor. That's got to be the best feeling in the world. You didn't play on this field.
Right, I didn't. And when I come here, no matter what event it is going on, I don't show no ticket. I park right beneath the stadium. I pull right up. They said, Michael, right next to Jerry's. They don't stop me. They let me go. So it's great from that standpoint. They've always been great around here, man. I was doing a show with Phil Simms. And the Cowboys were playing in New York. I said, hey, man, I think I'm going to go to the game on Monday night. I said, you're going? He said, no, I don't have any tickets. I said, you need tickets? What shit you need tickets for? You won Super Bowls. I said, man, when I go to Dallas, I don't need a ticket. I pull right up, police officers let them in, they stop traffic.
As they should.
But part of it is you look identical to when you were playing.
Yeah, dude.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
What is the secret?
We were saying that when you came in, what's the secret, man? How do we get the Mike Irvin body?
How do we get this?
80 push-ups a morning?
I hear do something. Man, you look, you still play. This shit ain't functional. This is just a look. Are you joking? This shit ain't functional. So you hear people saying they like, dude, you obviously don't know what it really takes to play. Like, this shit ain't, this man, I'm talking about one hitch. Catch that hitch, mother hit me, I'm coming out that damn game. So, yeah, but I do want to look the part, you know what I mean?
Because the NFL Combine just happened, you look like you're running a 4.3. You still look like you're running a 4.3. It's crazy, yeah.
That's me running at my fastest, a 4.7. Mike Vick running at 50 at 45 years old. So you know how fast he is, man. But
when you talked about Dancing with the Stars, how much of that training did like bled over to post the show? Like, did you implement any sort of the workouts you guys did from the show?
Well, let me tell you something, man. Yeah. And I never really shared. Maybe a few people. I've never been that damn scared in my life.
That's what Chuck said.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get nervous for shit. I go out for
me neither. Oh, well, no this shit here, oh my God, this shit was serious business.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, my girl Anna,
She kept saying, we should let somebody come in, you know, to Russell, we should let somebody come in and watch us perform. I was like, Anna, stop. I said, you don't know NFL football. I was like, you know, people I play for 100,000. I play millions of people watching. When the time comes, I'll be ready. She said it for weeks. I said, when the time comes, I'll be ready. Drop my voice, say it strong. And we were in the back. And they said, we were dancing. Dancing. Anna DeMeneva and Michael, I said, oh shit. My knees buckled. I said, I'm not ready. She said, you gotta be. Oh my God, I went out there. I did so poorly. I was so scared. I was stiff, man. The next day I went to work. Warren Sapp said, I set black people back 30 years. He said, no shit. He said, man, you have no hips. You set black people back 30 years. And then, you remember, wait. And then the one to do, who was it? What was the guy named the judge? One of the judges said to me, after like week 3 or 4, Bruno said, Michael, you're like the economy. We keep waiting on you to get better and nothing happens. I was like, oh, snap, you know what I mean? I was like, man, but it was hard. It's the hardest thing I've ever done.
How hard was that? I use your quote all the time. I go, you know, Michael said, hey, I'm used to telling my body what to do. It just doesn't.
Right,
dancing, this it ain't fucking right. Anything like that. Right. I'm used to any sport I've ever played. Right. I just tell my body to do it, it does it. Yeah. Hey, I gotta go do this, I gotta do that, okay? I used to be able to pick up any sport.
It's the hardest thing in the world.
Guys, I hate to pop out, but they want me to go fight, so I'm gonna pop out.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, let's call somebody in.
Let me ask you this. What round did you go out in Dancing with the Stars? Who made it the furthest?
Let me tell you what happened, though. I only lasted because every time I was walking through the airport, like all the little old ladies, the Cowboy fans, they were like, Michael, those judges are hard on you. We're going to keep voting you in. I'm like, stop voting me in. No, let me go.
You were done, yeah. Yeah.
After a while, I was like, man, we got to get out of here.
I'm done.
I'm not winning this.
I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but right before the week I got kicked out, me and my buddy went out drinking one night. We went by the studio.
Yeah.
I told him, and then as we were leaving, he decided to steal the lockbox. And I didn't know until we got home. I got home and he got the lockbox for the practice studio.
Yeah, yeah.
And they all freaked out, and like they're changing the locks. And all of a sudden I find out, I'm like, oh shit. So I come in and I go, here you go. Guys, my buddy took this and I'm sorry. And they got really quiet and got all, they all pissed off. My buddy and I said, hey man, guys, my buddy took this and I'm sorry. And they're like,
yeah, I know that lockbox. That's on Island.
Island in Santa Monica. I know where that lockbox is.
I'm off. Get rid of that motherfucker.
You bringing them hood rats around here.
Yeah.
The Hall of Fame asked me one time, right? They said, when I got inducted in the NFL Hall of Fame, they said, we're going to give you the bus room to have your family dinner before the hall. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have the bus room where all the bus stars. I was like, they said, what? Nobody's ever done that before. We give you the bus room. And I thought about it like, oh, hell no. Like, I got 16 brothers and sisters. Them Irvins from Florida? Man, they'd have been stealing bus, taking bus. You're not about to have me. The whole world said, my family stole all these Hall of Fame bus. We'll have dinner somewhere else. You know, just like Chuck saying, because you got people in your yesterday that really don't understand your today and tomorrow. And you're trying to bring them along. And they just, hey, man.
Some of them won't ever get it.
They won't ever get it.
They won't ever get it. Speaking of famous family, hey, you've got one of the most famous families of all time. What's that like growing up in that?
Man, it was all I knew. So, you know, for me, it was one of those type of things. Whereas growing up, I try to tell people all the time, like, when my dad was, like, at his heyday, he was like Jordan of sports almost. With football, he had the first person to have his own shoe and everything else like that. So, you know, I was born the same day of his first college game, though. So, like, I went for the whole ride. So, like, I never knew nothing else. You know what I mean? But I didn't look at it. I honestly didn't realize the impact he had on football until I got to the University of Pittsburgh. When I got to Pitt, that's when I started to recognize everything that was going on.
You had to deal with that thing hanging over
you. You had to deal with it, yes.
With that name, too?
Yes.
Man, come on,
you know what? I think for me, like, it was a better situation going there and being surrounded by it, because at the same time, I was surrounded by so much family.
Right.
Anywhere else, if I would have been detached from
everybody
else,
that's true.
It probably would have been a little bit more difficult to deal with.
That's true.
I was 30 minutes from both of my grandmothers. All my aunts and uncles, both sides of the family was there, so it worked out good for me.
And when you come out and you succeed like you did, stayed in the NFL for so long, was that a nice moment of like, all right, great. That pressure is off me. That monkey is off my back.
You know, so like me coming up, I never dealt with that. I never looked at that pressure. Fortunately, you know, like, and it's so many like second generation kids that you see actually playing sports and getting involved, and some of them have success and some of them don't. But I think the key thing that was good for me was that I was always Anthony. You know what I'm saying? And so like, and like, I'm from Maricopa, Pennsylvania, just like my dad is. So like, it don't get no harder than it gets in your family. So, you know, like, so everything that was instilled in me and everything that I just grew up, I never looked at that stuff. I never paid no attention to it, to be honest.
What did TD do to help to get you to feel that way? Because that's a hell of a thing. Like you said, that's the baddest dude in the world, and he was. I don't care what TD was bad. TD saw two dudes come and split my, they go crash each other. The baddest dude in the world. How can you have his name, play his game, and not feel that pressure? What did he do to cover that?
So, I'm gonna tell you what it really was. It was my mom, more so than anything. You know what I'm saying? And then it was the duality of having the lifestyle to be down here and see how people with money lived and did everything, compared to being back home in Aliquippa where like, and just being around my family where people didn't have the money. You know what I'm saying? So like, I was living on both spectrums, basically. You know what I'm saying? And it was the balance that came together more so than anything. But like, for us and my family, you know, like, my dad is the only person on his side of the family to make it. But the same year my dad was the number three pick, my cousin is Gary Jeter. He was the number 7 pick in the draft. Ty Law is my cousin on my mom's side. Like, we got so many people from the Jeters and all this on my mom's side of the family that, like, you know, like, that's all I ever saw growing up. And like, everybody from the hood plays sports. So for me, like going back to the question, though, like the pressure side of it, you know, like, I didn't play into it too much.
But for us, we all have kids. Mike Garvin, what do you tell your kids about being a professional athlete if that's the choice they want to make?
Well, I can tell you exactly what I told them. I said, listen, man, at this game, like your game, physical skill set matter. But the most important thing is you got to match the hunger of that dude across from you. You could be, I don't care how you jump, how fast you run. If you don't match his hunger, you get your ass whooped. Period, point blank, let's stop. It's not golf. See, in golf, you don't have to match the hunger of that little white ball. It ain't got no hunger. You just got to be able to direct it. You know what I mean? This game, in order to do your job, you got to go through another man. Another man who's trying to feed his family. And you got to match that hunger, bar none.
But how do you match the hunger when you were actually hungry growing up?
And that's exactly what I
did. Your kids aren't hungry now.
I sent my kid away.
How does a privileged kid
And that's really the question so, that like, we yeah. just asked TD. Yeah. That's really the question we just asked TD.
And so, like, right now, my cousin Ty's son is going to be a senior in high school next year. He's playing at that high school down there in Florida where Surtain is coaching at. So Ty's son is down there. And so,
that's what I did to myself.
So Ty called me up and he's like, what was it? You know what I mean? And like, it was really just about like when I say like truly, like, I bought into the fact that I was Anthony. Like, I knew the whole story with my dad and the Heisman, and they had to do TD for touchdown and all this other kind of stuff. So like, I never bought into like the whole image change or none of that stuff and anything else like that. And it was just one of those type of things where like, I knew that it was like, I knew what I was dealing with. I wasn't crazy. Like, I mean, I knew. And even when I got in the league, it was a situation where, like, I could have a bomb game in the league and my teammates would be like, yo, if I did that same game, I might get player of the week. They like, you do some shit, like stuff, you know, like, you can't never do enough.
Yeah, and they'll be like, hey, your dad did it better. Your dad did it better. Your game of the week, your dad did it better.
So it's one of those things that, like, what Mike said, like, when you ain't that kid that grow up that didn't have his lights turned off, that wasn't hungry at night, you know what I'm saying? And you have all this stuff. Where do you go here to match that dude across? And that's the stuff. That's what that switch got to come on.
But there are other hungers than just hungry. There are more hungers. There are some guys, and this is why I always say I measure men in distance travel. There are some guys that, and maybe, don't tell me about where you are. Tell me about where you started. And then let me see where you are, measure you accordingly. Because there are other hungries. Well, I can have a hungry. I want to be better than my dad. No matter what, that's my drive. I want to be better than my dad. So the guy that got left $1 billion, but he turned that into $10 billion.
Yep.
Because of that hunger. I'm going to measure him accordingly. That's a hell of a man.
Yeah.
Or the guy that grew up in the neighborhood without anything to eat, but he wanted to feed his family. That's a hungry man, and he made it to the league. I can appreciate that drive. But there are also guys that have things that just say, hey, you know what? I want to top my dad. I want to be the best. There are other hungers. You may have a hunger to be the best. Nobody came before you. Yeah. Nobody in my family came before me in playing football, but this is what I want to do. I want to be the best at this. You know what I mean? So I had to put off that hunger along with having been 15th or 17th and ain't netting on this damn plate, even to eat too. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
But there are different hungers. We just got to tap into that hunger.
The mental aspect is the heart of it, though, because how do you overcome that? When you have everything, to treat it like, all right, great. It's either I want to beat my dad or he'll probably give me the money for my trust fund. Like, that's the hardest thing that nobody can really guess.
So what Mike don't understand, and like what his kid probably tell him though, is this. Like, Mike gave everybody his best. His son get everybody's best because they like, yo.
Right.
You beat Lil Mike.
That's the other
you,
side.
You beat Lil
That's
Mike.
That's the other
you
side.
Lil
what
Mike
are you talking
and you
about?
Beat Mike.
Right.
What happened to me was like, when I was 12 years old, the first year I started
playing
tackle.
That's good.
First year I started playing tackle football, like I was at practice one day, and I don't even know who this man was to this day. But he called me and was like, Lil Dorsey, come here. So I went over to the fence, and he was like, don't look right now. He said, I want you to look over there in a minute. And so, like, a couple seconds later, I looked over there, and everybody over there was looking at us.
Yeah.
He was like, you see all them looking at you? That's their daddies. All them daddies telling their little boys to beat you, do this, do that.
Yeah.
So he was like, you know what that means?
That's a victory for the dad.
Right.
It is.
They're going to tell about it.
They're
going to
tell about it.
They're going
to
beat
Dorsey's
son.
Yeah. My kid beat Michael Irvin's son's kid, dude. Fuck him.
That changed it right there.
As a little kid,
you don't think like your kid ain't gonna never like. But
right,
you,
he's
so
right,
every
right,
time,
right.
every time his son line up against somebody, he getting their best every damn time. Every time.
Right.
And like it's a totally different story. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, trust me.
And it's the truth. Like with you, Chuck. I mean, you knock people out for a living, like we're watching right now. I'm sure everybody wants to knock your kids out.
Yeah, well, they're going to train your wrestler. They go to red light. You know,
hey, I knocked out Chuck Nails' kid.
Chuck
him out.
My son is such a good, he's such a nice kid, but.
Does he fight?
He wrestles. He's the son of wrestler.
Right,
if he wants to fight. I'm one of those people. I'm going to teach him how to fight.
Right.
I'm going to defend himself. I'm not going to push you. Hey, you want? He's going to be an athlete, man. He's fast. He loves to run, loves to race. But he's a tough kid, man. He's 7 years old, but everyone's like, are you gonna have him fight if he wants to? Fighting's one of those things.
That's a hell of a thing to watch your son do some UFC, though.
Yes.
It takes a man to watch. I was upset at the NFL because this game gets too soft. Like, it's too soft, man. We're changing all these damn rules. We're getting too soft. And then I watched my son get hit. I was like, man, we got to fix this. Like, this is too dangerous out here. You know what I mean? Like, my shit changed. It changed. Like, we got to fix this. It's getting too dangerous. We can't be hitting people in the head like this. You know, I was just saying, when everybody else was playing, oh, this stuff soft. Then my son get on about it, hey, this is crazy. We got to do it. You know what I'm saying? So to go from that to seeing my boy take
the funny thing
UFC is a whole different level. A whole different level. I don't know what I can do.
I had a partial knee replacement a little while back, but I was playing soccer with my kids. And my son comes up, hey, Dad, you know, it's okay. You don't have to chase this. Because I was having a hard time. I was hobbling after him getting hurt. He's like, what happened, Dad? He's like, I fought for a living, son. You know, my body got pretty beat up. I had a lot of wear and tear. And he paused for a second. He looked at me and goes, I want to be a fighter, Dad. I'm like, did you just hear what I said?
Right.
All the pain is this. Right. You want to be a fighter. All right, son.
That's how it is. You know, I mean, if you that type of dad, and I got a 6-year-old son, you know, and so it's been the best part of anything that I've ever done. But, like, you know, like, if you're that type of dad and your son, like, looks at you and wants to do what you do, you might not want to, but inside,
It's something.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm doing something right. You know what
everything
I mean?
Stands up. Like, yeah, it's
So, like, I start movies. My kid, all he wants to do is start movies. They get, Dad, I see you on TV. I go, it's not that easy. Go do something else. I love you, but it's a gentle hand where you're like, maybe try something else. Maybe just give it something else. As a father, you don't know, and then you get in it, and now you're in it, and you're like, all right, shit. My son, man, like, so he's playing flag football. He's already played soccer. He's played T-ball. He's swam. He's done all this stuff already. But then, like, the cool thing about it, he's speaking Spanish, Portuguese, English, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know where this 6-year-old boy's mind is. It's so further than where I was at that age, you know what I mean? And so, like, any parent, like, we all want our kids to have way better than we did anyway.
Right. Well, they had accessibility, access. You were growing up, we thought, we started school late, everything, all of that. But now they're starting to learn from 2 years old now.
Yes.
Because before, we didn't think you started learning till you're 5 or 6. And now they're learning early on this. So they got all the information right in the palm of their hands. You know, I think about when I wanted to find out something about my dad, I would have to try to go to the library, find this, go to section, go to you know, you remember they want the Dewey Decimal System. What the hell is a Dewey Decimal System?
Microfiche. Microfiche.
All of that junk. Now we got to boop, and everything you got, everything you want comes up. It's a different world. And they are much smarter.
Yeah. Well, look, hey, we appreciate you guys being on the show. Real quick here before we get out of here, because Canelo's coming on in about 2 rounds. Who do you got tonight, Canelo?
Canelo.
Yeah, Canelo. What round?
Now, I'm saying it's gonna go about to 6th, 7th round.
That's what I got. What do you got?
I'm gonna go early. Yeah, 5. Well, I said 5, 6, or 7, but I'll take 5. I'll take 5. Okay.
As you can hear with the cheers in the background, Canelo is warming up. He's getting ready to come out. I've got Canelo in 7. Michael, who do you got?
I got Canelo in 8. Because 8 is half of 88, and I had 8 throwing it to 88. Yeah, so Canelo and 8.
And he is retired in the building. 88 is retired in the building.
And my name is in the building. So whenever your name is on the floor, you should run the door.
And when you get retired in the building and you haven't played in the building, you know you had a better career than everybody else. Congratulations. Hey, for Icebreakers, Chuck Liddell, Drinking Bros Podcast, Michael Irvin, Mr. Dorsett, thank you for being here. Adam Ray, hop on in here.
Close it out.
What do you got?
9 years ago, I met Michael Irvin in San Francisco. Look at that shit. He looks the same. I look like dog shit. Fuck, that's not the point.
You look younger.
Mike said to me,
you and Jay-Z grow out the hair, you look younger. It's crazy.
Stadium in 9 years at the new one. I go, they haven't even built it yet. Fuck that shit, dude. They are. Meet me there. I have cocktails and nachos.
Hell up here under the parking, man. Here we are.
That's good TV right there.
It is. Cheers, everybody. Fight night with the boys live from Jerry World. Good night, everyone.